Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice that the gates of mercy have been opened to the Gentiles, that we who once were no people have been now made the people of God, that we who once were strangers from the covenants of promise and aliens from the household of Israel have been brought nigh by the blood of Christ. We rejoice that it has pleased thee to bring us into fellowship not by the charm nor learning of men, but by the working of thy Spirit, who has changed our hearts and made us fit for heaven, who has come to bring us new life by uniting us to Jesus, that we might participate in his saving work and in the glory which he has provided. We ask thee to bless us then as we make known our petitions today. Not that we should inform thee, but that we should talk them over with thee as children addressing their father. We ask thee to bless us in our personal lives. We ask thee to bless us in our homes. We ask thee to bless us in this congregation, that we may show more and more the glories which Jesus requires of his children, which Jesus has brought to us by the redemption which he has purchased. We ask thee to bless us as we strive to do a piece of work, and grant that we may ever remember how he's done for us. We ask thee to bless those of our number who are ill. We thank thee, our God, that we know that all healing is divine healing. So we ask thee to bless every means that thou hast allowed man to discover for the healing of people. Bless the doctors and the nurses. Bless the medicines and the treatments. We all may rejoice that it please thee to hear thy children when they pray. We ask thee to bless those who are grieving, and bless all of those, our Father, who are living day by day with a large vacuum because thou hast taken loved ones away from them. But grant that this may make heaven a little more precious, and the soon coming of our blessed Savior a little more attractive. But above all things, let thy grace prove itself sufficient for us, that we may live in the radiance, the joy of thy salvation. We ask thee to bless our activity at camp these next 2 weeks. Keep us from harm and danger, from temptation and from sin. And let the boys and girls in their work and in their play learn the joy of putting their trust in Jesus and living. We ask thee to bless those who are taking their time to help us in this camp. Glorify thy dear. We may always rejoice that Jesus has done so much for us. We pray for the missionaries, for everyone trying to speak a good word for Jesus. We pray for our country. And turn America, we beseech thee, so that the joy of seeing fulfilled what the Bible says, that righteousness exalteth a nation. And blessed is that nation whose God is Jesus. Hear us, we pray thee. Lead us in thy great mercy. For we make our prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus, thy Son, our Savior. Designed for children. Will you hear the word of God as it is read from the third chapter of the prophecy of Daniel? Daniel chapter 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits, breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then Herod cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve no gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, if he worship not, he shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. May our God bless to each one of us this his own holy work. Bless us now, our Father, by sending thy Spirit to our hearts to teach us thy word and to incline us to believe it. It may be very precious to each one of us. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Verses 16, 17, and 18 of the third chapter of Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou... The people of Israel had been divided into two kingdoms. After the death of Solomon, the northern kingdom was called Israel, and the southern kingdom took the name of the large tribe Judah. And many years before this incident that we read here, the northern kingdom had been invaded by Assyria and had been carried captive and disappears from history. The southern kingdom had been warned by the prophets that unless they repented of their sin, unless they stopped doing their wickedness, God was going to allow them to be carried captive. But the people said in their hearts, these prophets don't know what they're talking about. We are God's chosen people. The Messiah is going to come through us. And the most obnoxious prophet was a man named Jeremiah, who pled with the people to turn from their wicked ways, stop doing such evil things. But they wouldn't listen to him. So God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to invade the country and carry away the people captive to Babylon. Now certain of these Jews were very able people, and they soon demonstrated, proved what wonderful people they were, and were set up as rulers in the kingdom. The famous of all of that group was a man named Daniel. You remember, who was thrown into the den of lions, and God stopped the mouths of the lions so that the next morning he came out untouched. But there were three other men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were called among the governors and the sheriffs and the judges, all of the bigwigs of the whole empire of Babylon, were come to celebrate the king's achievement and to dedicate a monument to the king. He had built a needle 90 feet tall. 60 cubits would be 90 feet and 9 feet wide. And he set it up in the plain of Dura so everybody could see it. And he gathered all the crowd there. And a herald went out and said, "Now, everybody get ready. When the fanfare of music sounds, then everybody fall down and worship the image which Nebuchadnezzar has made to himself." And so the trumpet sounded in this great fanfare, went forth, and everybody bowed down except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, where was Daniel? Where were the other Jews? We don't know. But certain of the Babylonians were jealous of them, the same kind of people that had Daniel thrown in the lion's den. And they came to Nebuchadnezzar and said, "There's treason in the camp. You said, O Nebuchadnezzar, you sent out the word that when we had this great fanfare of music, everybody was to bow down. But you know, the certain men that you trusted have double-crossed you. They don't regard you. They don't regard your religion. And of course, this struck right at Nebuchadnezzar's pride. He wasn't going to have anything like this. And he said, "Bring them here." So they brought Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before the king. And the king said, "Let's not argue why you didn't bow down, but I'm going to have the fanfare once again, and I want you to bow down to that image. Prove that you're loyal. Prove that you're good patriots. Prove that you have high regard for me. And unless you do, I'm going to cast you into the fiery furnace. I am not going to have disloyalty among my governors." And they said, "Okay, we don't have to study up a reply. We're not careful to say today. We don't have to think hard how to answer you. You have said, what God is there that shall deliver us from your hand? But we'll tell you this, our God whom we worship is able to deliver us from your hand. And he will deliver us. But know this, O king, whether he delivers us or not is his business. But whether he delivers us or not, we're not going to bow down to that image." And Nebuchadnezzar was a little agitated. He was furious. And he said to his men, "All right, that furnace 7 times hotter than it's ever been heated." And you know the rest of the story, I'm sure, so let's stop here a minute and ask a question or two. Why did these men refuse to do what everybody else was doing? After all, everybody else was doing it. Who did they think they were? Well, I'll tell you why. Nebuchadnezzar had challenged their God when he said to them, "What God is there that will be able to deliver you out of my hand?" You know, it sounds like things that we have heard not too long ago. in which the German general said God is on the side of the nation that has the most divisions. You see? God is on the side of those who can do for themselves. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't doing anything strange. He was saying what people have always said. I am God, and you'll do what I say. And if this were a sermon for adults, I would take you to Washington and let you listen to what some of the planners have ordained. What happened in Los Angeles years ago when the city planners came out, rearranged the city, and what they did to the people because they were the planners. Men have always done what Nebuchadnezzar did. And they always will. Until Jesus comes again. Were these men being just stubborn? We're going to be different? No. Why did they refuse? I'll tell you why. When Nebuchadnezzar set up that image to himself, he was actually proclaiming himself to be God, and that's what everybody understood. It wasn't just a political, patriotic movement. And let me show you why I'm convinced of this. Not only what the Bible says, but how it works today. In Japan, there's a religion called Shintoism. And Shintoism says that the emperor is a descendant of the sun goddess. So that every anniversary of the emperor's birth is a national holiday when we recognize that God has down to earth in the form of the Emperor of Japan. And so when my friend Bruce Hunt was a missionary in Manchuria, and the Japanese invaded Manchuria, and on Pearl Harbor Day, they took Bruce away from his wife and five children and put him in a concentration camp. And the Japanese officer came to see him. And this officer said, "Don't you realize that the Emperor of Japan is divine? Don't you realize that he is superior to Jesus Christ? Don't you realize that he is the voice of God on this earth? Now all we want you to do is to go to the shrine. Just bow your head. Don't say anything. Just bow your head. And we'll turn you loose and let you go back to take care of your family." Now that's a simple request, isn't it? Very easy. Just bow your head. That's all. But the Japanese knew, and that Bruce Hunt knew, that when he did that, he gave up his allegiance to Jesus Christ, because bowing his head would admit that the Emperor of Japan was superior to Jesus Christ, and Mr. Hunt knew that, and the Japanese knew it, and every Christian in Manchuria would know it. Mr. Hunt said, "No. Your emperor's a poor sinner like you and me, and he needs this Jesus Christ to be his savior." And of course, the gentleman was furious. He didn't strike Mr. Hunt, but Mr. Hunt thought he was going to cut his head off. Why didn't Bruce Hunt agree to that? Because Bruce Hunt knew the Lord had commanded, "Thou shalt make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing and the thousands of them love me and keep my commandments." O Nebuchadnezzar, O Hirohito, the God whom we worship can save us out of your hand, and we believe he will save us. But if he doesn't, know this, that we are not going to deny our allegiance to Jesus Christ in spite of your threat. And so King Nebuchadnezzar said, "All right, you asked for it. Heat that furnace up," and when they got it heated, the man bound them, and they took them to the mouth of the furnace, and as they threw these three men in, the fire was so intense that it killed those guards. Nebuchadnezzar's curiosity had him. And he went to the door of the furnace and he said, "Look here, how many men did we throw in that furnace?" He said, "Three. But you see, I see far. One of them is like unto the Son of God." You see, the Son of God came down, firm not only to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but to you and me. But when men and women, boys and girls, stand up for Jesus, he's going to be there. We have it in one verse in our hymn book. "When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only designed thy dross to consume, thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foe. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake." Let's stand as we pray. Our Father, we thank thee for the joy that we have in knowing that Jesus is greater than any fiery furnace. We thank thee for the joy of knowing that there are those who love thy dear Son and are perfectly willing to risk their lives because they belong to Jesus. We thank thee for all the martyrs who have had to stand up for Jesus at the cost of their lives, and grant that we may follow in their train, that we may rejoice in the privilege that's ours in letting the world know that we belong to Jesus. Now bless the congregation as we meet. Consider this matter of business. Let thy Spirit guide us, we pray thee, and keep us always, that Jesus may be glorified in all that we do and say, and we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.